This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All in Croats.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was at the game. I got to sit in the end zone, and I got to watch a lot of Hicks and Matt. And those two guys together, I'm going to tell you right now, Kat, I would not want to face those two animals.
Olin Kruitz.
Kat, we were watching and we were like, man, that is a tough defense to come in off the bench and face. It's turning out to be maybe the best pass rush in the whole NFL right now.
Olin Kruitz.
If the offense ever does catch the defense, well, then we're going to be doing a Super Bowl show maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll come along, Kat. I think they will get better. How good, how quickly, that's anybody's guess.
Olin Kruitz. Every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Every time we talk to Olin, it's like Christmas morning. It's
morning,
just
Olin.
Magnificent.
Merry Christmas, guys.
So now that Kevin Mawai is in, are you next? Future Hall of Famer, Olin Kruitz?
My first guess would be probably not.
Oh, I think you're in the running, buddy. I think
I'd say probably not. You know, Kevin well deserved a very good center for a long time. If you look at his stats and his Pro Bowls and his All Pros and how long he played and the level he played at, he was well deserved in the Hall of Fame. You know, I know I have a tough road to get in. It would be an amazing honor. I think more for your family to be there to celebrate your career, but. To be honest, I got everything I'll ever need out of football. Enjoyed every second of it. So it's not something you think about all the time. Of course, you think about it when you see a center go in that was on the All-Decade team with you. So that'll make you think about it a little bit more. But, you know, I think I'm, to be honest, and I'm honest with myself, I think I'm a long way away, to be honest.
Olin, my guess is that watching the Super Bowl, you fall into the category of people that felt like it was more beautiful than boring, and you appreciated the running game and the emphasis on defense.
I just always appreciate good football. I mean, I know a lot of people didn't think it was, and there's a lot of people like Jared Goff and the both offensive lines at time, and even Tom Brady, who didn't play very well, right? Tom had that one good drive where he hit Gronk twice. But other than that, Tom threw a lot of bad balls. Could have been intercepted a few times. But when you watch the chess match and you're a guy like me who's watching Danny Shelton do a great job against the Rams center Sullivan, when you're watching the interior three of the Patriots offensive line versus Donald and Sue, and you're watching all those matchups and you're watching a chess match going on between Wade Phillips and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and the game can never be boring for a guy like me who's watching all those little details of the game. But, you know, I also do have four daughters and a wife in my house who weren't very impressed with the game either. So, you know, I heard both sides. And you know, just nowadays you always hear a lot about, wow, that was bad football and those kind of things. So that's always fun to me when the football snobs come out and this game was not good enough for them. But Bill Belichick, you know, and Flores, what a masterful game plan they put on that Rams offense. Just take away their play-action pass and see what they got left and make Goff read the field and beat you, and he couldn't do it.
I think the thing that bothered me about it, Olin, was just just aesthetically, was the idea that they had 9 penalties, 4 pre-snap penalties in a Super Bowl. That's just that's 4 too many in a Super Bowl.
It is, but I think you have to be fair in the crowd for New England. It was a home game, really. For New England, and the Rams are using a silent count in the Super Bowl, which you guys have heard me go on and on about silent count and you know, being the offensive line. And I don't think you go into a Super Bowl thinking you're going to have to use silent count. Now all of a sudden you have to do it the Patriots are steaming you and moving their front late. So as to take McVay out of the game, on third down, you're getting all kind of looks at Van Noy and Hightower and all the places the Patriots can bring pressure from. And now you're a little jumpy on the offensive line and your motions aren't as crisp as they should be. So, you know, it was like they were in, you know, a away game for the Rams. So some of that you can understand, but I know what you're saying. I mean, you were thinking of Super Bowl, all that stuff would be straight to them. And obviously they've been on the road before. So I agree with you there, but kind of a tough situation for the Rams, their offensive line and that whole offensive unit.
Were you surprised the Rams didn't adjust more, or is that easier said than done?
Well, when you watch the film, David, like I know you have, that's who they are, right? They're going to run the ball, and they're going to run all those boots and play action passes and guys sneaking out to the flats and guys acting like they're blocking and then releasing late, and that's how they get free runners in the field. And a lot of it is level concepts, but that doesn't mean you have a receiver low in the middle of the field and high. And look, sometimes you wonder when you watch all of that. When I watched the game closer, and I haven't watched a ton of Rams film, only when they played the Bears and this Super Bowl. When you watch it closer, I don't see Goff reading the field very well. He doesn't read the field well. I see when the center and the guard are trying to point out who the mic is and where the protection is going. I don't see him paying attention to that kind of stuff. So no, if a quarterback can't adjust, can't read the field, can't go to his third or fourth option, I'm not shocked that, you know, you have to do as a coach, you have to do what your players can do, and how much can you actually do if your quarterback can't read the whole field. So the fact that McVay has to stick with play actions and boots, and the fact that I think Belichick said, you know, always people wonder what player they're going to take away from the Rams. I think what Belichick did was take away the play action and the boot, because that's what the Rams live on. They play kind of that Fangio 6-1 defense, kind of a goal line with the quarters coverage behind it, and the end on the backside of the action wouldn't bite on the run fake and just get straight up the field and took that boot away every time from Goff, and that just took away everything they wanted to do.
I think it's really interesting what you said about the crowd, because normally at a Super Bowl, the worst you see is kind of 60-40, you know, 65-35 maybe if some team hasn't been there before, the Packers or something. But that they have no fans, the Rams. You know, that is a problem for them. And the numbers on television kind of held up to that too, Olin. I don't think the people in Los Angeles really care about the Rams. And I don't know how long it takes to develop that. But that you know, the whole issue of the coach trying to give the guy what he's seeing, and they cut off the mic at 15 seconds, so they want to run their plays quickly. All that stuff came back to haunt them, and it's been the case whenever they're on the road. The guy's passer rating is 30 points lower.
Yeah, and, you know, Hyman, we saw it up close and personal when they came here, right? It haunted them against the Bears when the Soldier Field was rocking and that horn was blowing and it was driving everybody crazy. But just see, it ended up being their downfall. They got to the Super Bowl, and they had to use, you know, you watch it, I said it already, but you watch it closer, and they use the silent count. I mean, you know, I played in the Super Bowl, and I couldn't imagine if we had to use a silent count in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's supposed to be a neutral field, and it's not. But I'm guessing that the Rams, I mean, if they keep doing the winning that they're doing, they've got to build a culture and some kind of fan base there, right? I mean, people, you would imagine people would start to really buy in and follow them with what McVay's got going down there and how much winning they've done in the last 2 years. And, you know, they're an interesting team with Gurley, and who knows what happened to him, but Gurley and Goff, and they got a lot of young guys, and Aaron Donald, and they got a lot of guys you can buy into and follow. So you got to imagine that eventually they will have a pretty big fan base there.
Olin, what's your instinct say about Gurley? And if you're his teammate, do you wonder or do you already know?
I'm sure they already know in that locker room when a guy disappears like that. It looks like he was running hard in that Super Bowl and trying to get after and go downhill. But what it tells me when they go to a guy like Anderson, an old tough back who's going to hit the hole hard, that maybe he wasn't hitting the hole hard. And, you know, I'm just guessing. I would have to watch more film, obviously, from the whole year. But when you go to a different back and you go away from a guy like Gurley, it just tells me that the coaching staff, when they're watching film on Monday or Tuesdays after the game, they're seeing holes. They're seeing things there that Gurley is missing, that he's not running hard enough, is not breaking the arm tackles that he needs to break, that the line is blocking for 3 or 4 yards, and that's all he's getting is 3 or 4. And they need 5 or 6 in that offense for their play action to work. So, and once you lose that confidence of a Sean McVay, all you got to do is go out there and get stuffed once or twice like he did, and you'll be on the sideline again. So I think he lost his coach's confidence. Now, this is all assuming that he doesn't have an injury. And if he does have an injury, like you just said, his teammates all know about that too. But when a guy starts disappearing like that, what you do know is that there's been talk around the whole building for him for a while. You know, old linemen are watching the field film together and saying, "Down." I mean, he should have hit that hole right there. Why is he not hitting it anymore? So that's what I wonder. But the thing I wonder the most about, and I wonder if you guys wonder this, is why wouldn't you line him up, spread him out, try to get a matchup on high power Van Noy and use him in that manner then if you don't want to use him in a run game? That was one of the things that you said that Sean McVay, you thought he would have adjusted, maybe go to some empty sets, get it spread out, and let Goff read the field and hit, try to get Gurley matchup on one of his slow, the Patriots' slow linebackers. But that goes back to my thought of can Goff read the field? Can he go where he needs to go with the ball? That's something to be interesting to watch as we go on, because now that the Rams have been figured out their offense, so to speak, they're going to see what they saw every week in the Super Bowl next year.
What is the takeaway for the Bears? Is there any lesson learned that they can apply?
Yeah, they're close. I mean, that if they stay healthy again and get into, get into the playoffs and get into it, they can beat anybody. I'm sure they were thinking that from their couches at home. I'm sure you guys were thinking and watching it too, that the Bears could have beat any of these teams with their defense and with Coach Nagy maybe scheming somebody open for a couple of touchdowns here and there. And they're just not that far off from the two teams that just competed in the Super Bowl and the teams that won the Super Bowl. I know we talked about this the Eagles week, but I actually thought they let the team into the playoffs, the one team that matched up the best with them, the one team that had the offensive line that could match up with their defensive line. I thought that was a mistake, letting the Philadelphia Eagles into the playoffs, man. And I think the Bears are thinking at home that now that we know what it feels like to get in the playoffs, now that we know what the playoffs are all about as a team, now we know and we want to get there next year. We want to be in the big game.
And one of those teams in the way, obviously, will be the Rams, Olin. I think the Bears and the Rams and the Saints are probably going to be the class expected to be of the NFC. You know, but everybody talks about the Super Bowl hangover for the winners. How about the team that loses? There's got to be a difficult...
That used to be the big story. Yeah. It used to be the loser that was the team that could never get back.
Never get back because of everything that they have to endure in losing that big game. You've been in that situation. How difficult is that?
First of all, I was listening to your guys' show yesterday morning, and I know what Whitworth is going through. The feeling, you can't even explain the feeling after you lose a Super Bowl. And honestly, it hurts like hell to this day to lose that big game. And some, sometimes it makes it hard to watch a Super Bowl, but I just like football that much that I'm going to watch it anyway. And you come out of that game and for weeks you're saying stuff like that to people. Like, look, we're all going to die. So who cares about that loss? You'll die. I know what it feels, but it is hard to get over as a team, as far as it leaking into the next year. I think a lot of that nowadays is how much turnover you have on your team.
Right.
Who's still there? Who's in the locker room? And I think the Rams feel like they're still a very young football team. They're still up and coming and got to where they got to be. But obviously, the finger pointing has to go away. Everybody has to accept what they did wrong in the Super Bowl, because one of the big problems when you lose a Super Bowl is, hell, nobody wants it to be their fault, right? You don't want to be the guy who had a bad game. You don't want to be the guy who missed the block. So you got to make sure, as a Coach McVay and the leaders in that locker room, that those feelings aren't lingering. People don't hold things against people. I mean, I know, in our locker room alone, people thought Ron Turner should have ran the ball more, and they held that against him for a while. So those are just things that you have to guard against and be careful against, because those feelings, like I just said, when you lose a Super Bowl, they never go away.
Yeah, if Thomas Jones just had the ball for the second half, the game would be done. Anyway.
Don't give
you
him
can't going. Argue with that.
He's picking a scab, Olin.
All right.
Just save that salt for the icy roads.
Well put.
Thanks, Olin.
Take care.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's the Olin Kreutz.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.